Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great big universe held together by the World Wide Web. We are the last three guys to do a podcast. Our 31st episode, John Morgo with the table in live, in person. Daniel Bolton has shown up here today after a two-week absence. Daniel, good to see you as we talk sports here for 1 hour on this. Exactly. And Dan, just want, before we get started, just a note from last week that we need to clean up. We were talking with Reinhardt head football coach James Miller discussing the spring practice wrap-up for the Reinhardt Eagles, and in it he teased something. He said that something would be happening with the program either in the next few days. We know what that is. Reinhardt has scheduled a game with Kennesaw State. Call it the Battle of I-575, two cities located, separated by about 30 miles. They will play at Kennesaw State's 5th Third Bank Stadium over in Kennesaw on September 28th. We will be there. The whole crew will be there. I'll be there anyway doing the game. Daniel and Leon. I'm telling Leon now this. Leon has agreed to come up for the first game with Weber International in August, but he's going to come to that game as well at September 20th, because that's just up the road from where we are. So that is what Coach Miller was talking about. Interesting that these two teams seem to be natural rivals. They will get together. It's interesting, Daniel, because when Kennesaw State first started, people wanted that match. Kennesaw State said no, but now that Kennesaw State is an established program, they got some tradition, and frankly, they're pretty good. Now they want to play Reinhardt.
They want to play it, and I think it was because they wanted to make sure how good they were.
Oh.
So, you know how that goes. You don't want to be embarrassed by Reinhardt.
Exactly. You don't want to be that, but now that you're confident in your abilities, you want to play that game. So it's still...
I can't wait for that one to set up our...
Yeah, we'll we will definitely be there for that particular contest, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get the season going. August 24th against Weber International. Again, practice will start the 1st of August, and we'll have a lot of coverage on that. So now with that little side business out of the way, let's get into the topics of the week in the world of sports. Leon, it's all you, because we've got NBA basketball moving into the second round. Denver did beat San Antonio in Game 7 of their series. We've got the Milwaukee-Boston opener going on right now. Second round happening. What are you looking at? Has anything changed in your thinking over the past 7 days heading to the second round?
Well, before we start the season, I picked for Toronto to represent the Eastern Conference in the Eastern Conference as far as in NBA Finals, and that has not changed. Kawhi Leonard going for 45 points against Philadelphia, which is a major one because Philadelphia have made, I feel that the Philadelphia made the most, you know, in-season changes that were very significant with the addition of Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. Above all teams, that right there is probably the largest trades. I mean, some say, well, what about Marcus Gasol to the Toronto Raptors? That was big, too, but Jimmy Butler going and Tobias Harris going to the Philadelphia 76ers, who were already title contenders before they got there. You know, and saying all that to say, that still wasn't enough. Kawhi Leonard still goes for 45 points. They win big in game one. And that right there was, in my opinion, that right there was a more of a significant victory than the blood massacre that we've seen with Boston-Milwaukee. You know, because, I mean, I feel that the Boston-Milwaukee game was huge, but with Denver... I mean, with Toronto beating Philadelphia like that in such convincing fashion, I feel that was just a little bit bigger.
A 22-point Boston victory in Game 1 of their series. Celtics take that 1-0 lead. I mean, that seemed to be pretty...
That's an eyebrow raiser.
Exactly. Exactly what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one thing that, you know... I don't want to just let this go by the wayside, because there's a lot of significant games today. Or far over the past couple of days, but when the series just ended with San Antonio and Denver, I was shocked that San Antonio lost that game. To be honest with you, because San Antonio, though they were the lower seed, they had the more experience as far as they had somewhat established superstars. They could run their offense through DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge, or come off the bench. They had Rudy Gay come off the bench to run their offense through whenever DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge were sitting down. And yet, and still, they didn't get it done. And even though they were the seventh seed, I was still looking for San Antonio to prevail in that series.
Right.
And it didn't happen. And also, we can't forget about the Houston Golden State series, in which, looking at the box score, the big difference I seen in that one was with Chris Paul going 5-for-9 in 36 minutes and getting ejected.
Last minutes of the game.
Yeah, which could have made the difference. So we're going to need Chris Paul to stay on even heel, so therefore this could be the series that we all wanted to be.
And starting tomorrow, we got the Portland Trailblazers, Denver Nuggets. They're playing Game One. They're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. Everyone else is going into a Game Two, but they're starting Game One. That Game One will be at Denver. Does Portland have an advantage being with their significant layoff going into that series with Denver?
Yes, they do. I'm looking for Denver to take that series though, because Denver is more of a well rounded team. They have a more of a balanced attack where. So it looks like what Portland is Damian Lillard or bust.
Right.
And that type of thinking isn't going to really get you too far in the playoffs. The only time we've seen that really work consistently through the years is with LeBron James-led teams.
Okay.
But as we know, whenever, you know, he's able to make it to the Eastern Conference like that, especially when he's with Cleveland. But unfortunately, whenever he would go to the finals against Golden State, who are coming more of a balanced attack, it just didn't prevail like that. So I'm looking for Denver to take that series pretty handily in at least six games.
Six games. So not the gentleman's sweep, which you introduced to us last week. Very interesting concept of which is basically a five game. You're going to win a game, so you don't feel completely bad that you were swept. But I really do like the way you termed that. So you got Denver advancing. It'll be tough for the Nuggets, but you got them getting past Portland. And you talked about Game One of the series, where Golden State only won by 4 over the Houston Rockets. It seems like James Harden is playing, I won't say harder, but with more of a chip on his shoulder in that series.
Well, he's going to that chip is going to become bigger if you're going 9-for-28.
Right.
9-for-28 isn't really going to get you that victory. And I'm going to need Chris Paul, you know, to step it up just a little more in the game, which I expect him to do coming game two. Because I don't personally, for the sake of competition, I want to see Houston win that game next series. I mean next game.
Yeah, just as tying it up, because if Golden State goes up 2-0, heading to Houston, that will put the Rockets definitely behind the eight ball. They'll need to at least get one game in that homestand, and still Golden State could wrap it up. If Golden State wins game three, then they're looking forward for game five. But again, let's get the Warriors that win tomorrow night, or Tuesday night, I guess, is when they're going to play it at Oracle Arena in the Bay Area. So, interesting thing about the NBA, I mean, it looks as if, I mean, looking at the series, all top teams won. We have no upsets. I don't consider that a surprise. I think we all expected that. And it looks like will we see an upset here in the second round?
Yes. Boston, I think, is going to beat Milwaukee.
Well, they certainly came out strong today.
They did. But here's why. First off, Milwaukee's strong set is the 3-point shot. They attempted 37 threes a game, 38 threes a game in the regular season, and knocked down 13 of them. They struggled behind the 3-point arc. But the major concern is that Giannis Antetokounmpo, he struggled. He had 22 points, but he was 7 of 21 from the floor. And the reason why he struggled was because of Boston's defense. Kudos to Brad Stevens and that coaching staff for putting together an outstanding plan and how to stop him. They were able to stop the Euro step. The way you stop Giannis is that you put a body on him, and Al Horford was that body. Al Horford did a phenomenal job. He had 3 blocks in the game today. So I thought he did a phenomenal job.
Of course, the Euro step, which is that extra step that no one seems to call. It's technically traveling, but no one calls that. So when they take that step, you got to, as you said, put the extra body there, get someone in the way so you disrupt the rhythm. Either they have to go around or stop and try to hit a fall away.
Exactly what Boston did. That, in fact, anytime you thought that he was going to the hole, it was 3 guys around him, and he could not make that extra step because the Euro step is like a side-to-side kind of step.
Okay.
But everybody was right there on that side to make that stop. So, you know, of course, we're talking about game ones.
Right.
You know? But when you look at this series, the Boston Celtics are only a 4 seed because of everything they were going through in the offseason.
Absolutely. I'm
sorry, during the regular.
Yeah, they had a lot of issues to get through.
Issues going on, and that's the only reason why. But listen, this team is still the team to beat.
Absolutely. But what that and saying that to say, to mm-hmm. build on what you were saying, would you consider that upset if Boston beats Milwaukee?
I mean,
I
wouldn't.
In the grand scheme of things.
It's an upset.
It's only an upset because it's a 4 beating a 1.
Bingo.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it. But no, I think coming into this series, look, we knew Milwaukee was going to beat Detroit. Detroit is just not on their level. However, now you're talking about Boston, a healthy Boston team. I think the only thing with Boston that might concern me, they don't have Marcus Smart. And he's he's out for the year. But
they still have more than enough.
But they still have more than enough. Rozier played well. Of course, Kyrie Irving stepped up and was the man. Hayward played well. Al Horford played well. Tatum played well. They have too much depth.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with Milwaukee is that Brogdon is going to be out as well. So we'll see what happens for game two. It's always great to see game ones and game twos because you're always looking forward to see what the losing team can do in the next game. Just like with the Houston series.
Right.
The Houston Golden State series. Golden State actually could have blown them out, but they turned the ball over too many times. I think they had about 21 turnovers in the game. Golden State,
and they still won.
James Harden, like you said, shot what 9 for 28.
9 for 28.
35 points still, but he got to the free throw line.
13 for 14 from free throw.
Right. He's going to get to the line. And he's going to do what he needs to do with that.
But you know what shocked me though?
Mm-hmm.
The bloodbath that was the Boston Milwaukee game, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They were able to perform all that with just 4 points from Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Right. That's interesting. Right. That's very interesting. And, yeah, we were discussing this off air, Daniel and I,
mm-hmm.
but Al Horford being the big difference with keeping Giannis from dominating the middle like that. There was zero paint domination with Giannis this game,
mm-hmm.
which will be the difference maker in this series. That's why we know after the game, Paul Pierce was like, ooh, this series just might be a little over. And, you know, Paul Pierce being the homer that he is
–
yeah. You know, has no problem saying that Boston this will be a short series,
right.
Potentially.
Right.
We could be looking at the way things went and the way, you know, the domination that we've seen out of Boston. This is the time where all of their stars, because, you know, Boston had a talent. It like this, they had like a good problem. They were overloaded with talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And this right here, it will come into play during the playoffs. They have a roster made for the playoffs.
Right.
Right.
And we have, for example, we have Gordon Hayward going with 30 big minutes, 5 for 8, 13 points. Huge. We have Boston holding Milwaukee to, if Milwaukee wasn't scoring just 17 and 19 in the first and fourth quarters, during the middle quarters only scored 33 and 21. That's not going to cut it for us in the playoffs against good teams like Boston.
Absolutely.
Right.
So could this be a 5-game series? Can we possibly see the gentleman sweep in the second round?
For Boston over Milwaukee?
For Boston, yeah.
Are we jumping the gun?
Well,
we might be because it's game one.
Yes. Right? You can read too much into game one.
Just like with the Toronto series, right? Kawhi Leonard went off for 45 points. We ain't going to expect for him to do that again, are we? If he does that again, then Philadelphia is going to have – they're going to have some problems, man. And the only thing with Philly that I saw with that – and I don't know if you agree with me on this, Leon, but – I know you saw the highlights. The only thing they need to do, Kawhi Leonard is, to me, and he showed me in the past series that he might be the best player in basketball because he is such a disruptive player on both ends of the floor. He made a dynamic impact in that game on the offensive end. They couldn't stop him on the offensive end. They had Tobias Harris on him. And on the defensive end, he was everywhere. He was on the ball. So what do you do with that? Now, my thing is, with him on the offensive end, Jimmy Butler is your best on-ball defender.
And couldn't do nothing with him.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm him, I would roll the dice and go to him. Even though Leonard is a little stronger than he is, but I would go to him, you know, to be the primary defender for Kawhi Leonard. Because if he's getting off on 45 points, which we know he can do that.
He can do that any game, right.
Right? But you got to find a way to slow him down. You got to find a way for Ben Simmons to get involved a little bit more because I noticed that they took him off the ball a lot. But, you know, and Embiid didn't play all that great either. So, and they're going to need him. They're going to need him bad in this series because he didn't really play as well as we thought he would.
Yeah, we give credit to Marcus Saul with Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
But that's going to, you know, it's not going to be a good look if Philadelphia gets on. If they get put down, we know this. This is I like the way things are panning out as far as with the second round of the Eastern Conference because you have four title contenders playing right now.
Yes,
we got four teams that are expected title or bust, or at least title appearance or bust. Mm-hmm. But Philly's expected to go to the finals this year. Toronto's expected to go to the finals this year. Milwaukee is expected to go to the finals this year,
yeah.
And the team that is putting the hammer down on Milwaukee right now is expected to go to the finals this year.
Well, looking over Toronto and Philadelphia, I think the clock is closing, the window's closing on them a little sooner than it is on Milwaukee. Absolutely. I think Milwaukee's got a lot of time to gel and maybe find that extra player they need. So it wouldn't, while, yes, I would be disappointed for Milwaukee if they don't get through. Love to see the Bucks break that seemingly stranglehold from the really class of the East, you know, Boston. We think of Boston always there, and I'd love to see Milwaukee do it because they have, basically, they've been an also-ran since the days of Lou Alcindor.
Right.
And I'm, you know, so I'd love to see them. But let's be honest, the window for Milwaukee is very long. They can get that extra piece. If you're Toronto, you've got to think that this is your last year.
Yeah, because of Kawhi Leonard.
Because of Kawhi Leonard. Because you think he's gonna bolt. Yeah. And if the only way you can get him to stay is if you make the championship.
And that may not be enough.
And that may not be enough, exactly.
Yeah, and even the money might not be enough.
Right.
One more thing I want to go back to, the Denver-San Antonio series, especially Game 7. I know you said you were shocked about San Antonio. But listen, there were a lot of things that came out of that one game, that Game 7. Nikola Jokic. He was clearly the best player on the floor. He had 21, 15, and 10.
Mm.
So he was clearly the best player on the floor.
Dang it.
The weird stat was this, though. Denver won 90-86. But Denver, who is a strong three-point shooting team, shot just 2-for-20 from three-point range. San Antonio was 6-for-23. I found that stat was just mind-boggling to me. And how they were still able, because even when they didn't hit a three, they were still up by at least 10. And DeMar DeRozan did not play up to his potential. And I didn't expect for LaMarcus Aldridge to play up, because this is LaMarcus Aldridge's first Game 7.
Right.
He's never played in a Game 7 before. So I didn't expect for him to understand, to grasp a Game 7. I don't care what round it is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, when it's one game on the line, It's almost like playing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You got that one game. All that other mess that you did before does not matter. You have to play that perfect game. And, you know, Denver, that Denver-Portland series is probably one of the more interesting series because you got, like what you said, Leon, Damian Lillard and his style of play. Listen, he closed out Oklahoma City with a 50-pointer and a 3-point shot at the buzzer, which was probably one of the best
shots
I've ever seen.
That we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, quite some time, right? Yeah, and then you got a young Denver team, a young hungry Denver team that still has the home court advantage in this one. I'm going to go with Denver, too, in that series. I think that goes 7, though. I think they're evenly matched to me.
We're going to have to see more consistent play out of CJ. Going to see more consistent play out of him. We're going to see more consistent play out of the Portland's role players. Because expect Damian Lillard to average 35 points.
It's not going to work. This is and you and I were talking about this. This is the reason why Russell Westbrook has been out of the playoffs 3 straight years.
Absolutely.
They are expecting so much out of him, and they just can't get it done.
Right, and you're not going to, like, for example, when you look at the 76ers team, right,
mm-hmm.
and even though they lost to Toronto, mm-hmm. if you look at the box score, it's pretty well-rounded. Coming from their point of view.
Right.
You know, everybody contributed. Tobias Harris had 14, mm-hmm. 6 for 17. Joel Embiid, 5 for 18 with 16. Ben Simmons, 7 for 8 with 14. Jimmy Butler, he had 10. But you had the whole starting five had double digits.
Right.
The whole starting five, which is, that's a bit of an upside. All they got to do is improve on a couple of things, and, you know, they might find something to do with Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. But
and not just him, Siakam. 29 points.
Absolutely. That's yeah, you got 45 and 29 coming out, so that's a problem.
That's a problem. Kyle Lowry only had 9. And Danny Green only had 7. I mean, come on, man.
Kyle Lowry can play quarterback. Really, he, you know, Kyle Lowry's known for being an impact player in the offense.
He is.
But when you got Siakam, yeah, he could just play quarterback.
Yeah.
And just, exactly. You know, exactly. And they could do some good things. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to see more well-rounded play out of Portland in order for them to make it out the series with between them and
Denver.
Absolutely. So we're going to, you know, is it going to be a good one? I think it's more. I think the Western Conference this year is more predictable. I think the only one that we're going to that's going to be kind of interesting, and this goes is to make sure Houston shows up next game, is the Houston and Golden State series. Yeah. But the Eastern Conference is going to be very. In my humble opinion, I would like to see every single second round series.
Go 7 games.
I'm hoping it does.
Why not?
I'm hoping.
The last round we only saw one, and that was a Denver game last night.
Right, because.
I ask you and John this. Because I've heard this. I actually heard this. I was listening to the game on the way here. And PJ Carlissimo and Adam Levine was calling the game for Golden State Houston. And they were saying that that the Golden State Houston game, the winner of this game will be prohibitive favorites to win the Western Conference.
Well, they'll definitely
be the NBA Finals.
They'll definitely be the sexy pick.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that the winner of the Houston Golden State series, you automatically crown their asses?
Well, I don't think we'd frame it that vulgarly, but here's the thing. If you're the NBA league commissioner, if you're Adam Silver in New York, who do you want representing the Western Conference in the championship? You want Golden State, they've got names. Durant, you've got Houston. You can market James Harden. Who are you going to market for Denver? Who are you going to market for Portland?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, much. You know, you can sell it like how they sold Butler. They're like the Butler of the NBA. But I do see your point, though.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, they can't market those names.
Yeah. Jokic.
Hey, listen, that guy's a good player.
We can market him to Atlanta, hoping he loses badly. But you know that's about it. And again, let's keep this going, folks. For the East, you can market Kawhi Leonard, you can market Jimmy Butler, you can market Kyrie Irving, and you can market Giannis. You can market all those guys.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're probably going to want Boston. I think Kyrie would probably be the easiest to do.
They would be the prohibitive favorite because
with the history, with the tradition,
and not only that, last year they were a game away from the NBA Finals, but mm-hmm. LeBron was in their way. LeBron's right. Not in your way now.
Right. Exactly. He's at home. Yeah, he's chilling.
Yeah.
He's not just in the East. He's at home. You know.
Yeah. When looking at the East could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're saying, with the West is it's kind of like if you're looking from a marketing point of view, it's Golden State, Houston, or bust if you're thinking about marketing your product
right
to the public.
And then also, when we look at championship games and all of that, you have to look at location as well. In the summertime, would you really want to be in Denver?
Well, Denver's a nice city. I mean, I've been in the airport for all of a half hour,
right.
But you know. And you know Portland's got its quirk.
Yeah,
I think you can have some pretty good scenery shots. And you know Portland, like I said, Portland's quirky. You can deal with that.
Right.
But you know, like I said, Houston and Golden State. They've got the marquee names. They've got the as I said,
ring,
sexy.
Ring bells.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can market those.
Imagine it's final right here though. Toronto and Portland.
I'd still watch it.
Yeah, but you know, because we're actually NBA fans, right?
Yeah.
But what I believe what John is referring to is the casual NBA person
who doesn't the person who usually doesn't get into the NBA until after the Super Bowl, if that.
Right. And you're looking at Toronto,
the
In Portland.
The person who thinks that NBA's opening day is their five games on Christmas Day.
Oh yeah.
Toronto and Portland.
And at the season in full swing by May 29th.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not gonna get that casual fan. Let's be honest. Houston's a major media market. You know, San Francisco's a major media market. We make light of them because, you know, LA's down the coast, but San Francisco is a big market. And Toronto is
coming.
Canada.
Yeah, right.
It's Canada. We don't even count those. Yeah. So the CBC's got to be happy, but, you know, not the NBA league offices. Let's be honest, Toronto's always kind of had that position.
Exactly.
In the NHL, I mean, in Major League Baseball. Not NFL. We don't have that problem with NFL, except for Buffalo. But, you know, that's kind of where things are going with that.
Yeah, so therefore, it could be very realistic. We could see a Toronto and Golden State series. We see a Toronto and Houston series. That is very, I mean, regardless of the NBA casual fan or not.
Well, I think Toronto-Portland would be better than Toronto-Denver.
Think so?
Mm.
You said what?
I think Toronto-Portland would be better than Toronto-Denver.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a marketable name in Damian Lillard.
Hey, you talking about as far as
Damian Lillard.
As far as marketing?
Yeah, marketing. Goes? Marketing.
Oh, okay. Because as far as in-game goes, I think, as far as talking about basketball, I think that Toronto-Denver would actually be a better series.
I'm going to go on a limb on this one. Right. You know, and Danny and I were discussing this off air. When you have your point guard is your number one scorer, and he takes the most shots, and the playoffs, it has a tendency not to go anywhere. You know, you have to have a point guard. Like, for example, we was discussing Kyle Lowry, mm-hmm. where you had Siakam and Kawhi Leonard are pretty much going off with Kyle Lowry is, you know, pretty much playing the role of quarterback, which is great. But when you have Damian Lillard, who is pretty much your point guard or bust,
yeah,
that's not really, you know, I don't look at that as being the recipe for success.
For success.
Yeah, we only seen that happen in my lifetime. I've seen that halfway work with Philadelphia with Allen Iverson back in the early 2000s. And as you see, when he went against a more balanced attack team with the Kobe-led Shaqs, the Kobe and Shaq Lakers, you know, that was pretty much a recipe for disaster. It was a gentleman sweep. You know, they got the historic game one, but then all the rest, Kobe and Shaq pretty much did whatever they wanted to.
Right.
So when I look at, you know, like OKC, mm-hmm. OKC is Russell Westbrook or bust. Well, when you have Russell Westbrook as your number one facilitator as well as shot maker, recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I agree with that too.
Have we ever seen an all-time great team led by a superstar point guard who was your leading scorer?
No, I don't even think Irvin was.
No,
facilitator.
He was a facilitator.
Yep,
and he can get you 40. If he needed to. But, yeah, I don't even think. See, he had Worthy.
Yeah, James Worthy.
He had Worthy on his side. He had Kareem.
And Byron Scott.
He had Byron Scott. So, it was so much balance on that Lakers team in the 80s, man. Yeah.
That's why they went so far. When you look at when we look at Boston, the great Boston teams during the 80s,
mm-hmm.
you had
you had Larry Bird.
You had
Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale.
And Dennis Johnson, who – Dennis Johnson was a superstar in Seattle.
Yeah.
He was a superstar in Seattle, and right. he led his team to a championship. But when he went to Boston, he was the facilitator.
He was the facilitator.
You know, when we look at the Bulls, you had Ron Harper, who was a superstar with the Clippers. But then when he went to the Bulls, he was a facilitator.
That ball up to Michael.
Give it exactly.
That's all your job.
That's all you got to do, really.
Dribble the ball half court. Give it to Mike.
Find Michael, let him take care of it.
Scotty, so that he can give it to Mike.
Absolutely.
Either way it goes.
And if Michael misses the shot, you're going to have Rodman getting it underneath, and he's going to kick it back out to Michael, and Michael will make it this time.
Exactly. There it is. So, but when you have when your point guard is your facilitator / superstar, we've seen this happen with James whenever Chris Paul went down. Mm-hmm. And James Harden had to pretty much, you know, you can make it through the season like that. But when you're dealing with the playoffs, which is lose at a lot faster speed, and you have to pretty much play from the half court,
mm-hmm.
it kind of makes things a little difficult.
It does. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So, and another thing, I mean, you're right, Leon. We have teams that when your point guard is your leading point getter, and also your leading assist getter, and also your leading rebounder. I've actually seen that happen once in women's college basketball. Usually, that tells me that your team has only got one player and is usually looking at him or her to try and drive things. You got to diversify. It is a team game. And again, basketball is the one sport where even if that is the case, you might win like a handful of games, but you need. And if you have two good players, you'll win a little more. Three good players, you'll win a little more. It's like I said, basketball really is, well, it's a very big team sport, and everyone's got to be on the same page. Everyone's got to be listening to each other, and more importantly, bringing out each other's strengths.
Right.
Knowing what they are, knowing what to play to, that's one of the beauties of this game and sport, pretty much in sports in general.
Before we transition.
Oh, Leon knew that's where I was going. He knew that's where I was going.
All right. For example, in the professionals, it has to be a team sport.
Yeah.
It has to be a team sport. Now, in the college ranks, you could almost get away with it. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, with what David Robinson did for Navy.
Yeah.
You know, when he was there, they were like a major powerhouse. You know, like a one man can pretty much make a difference. But you will not win it all if you don't have a balanced attack.
Balanced attack.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Okay, so now that Leon has interrupted me from segue, but now I will segue. The other big story this week, of course, is the NFL draft taking place in Nashville, Tennessee, right on Country Music Row. And guys, before we get into the ins and outs, what we think of the Falcons' choices, what we think of the number one pick, what we think of everything else, can we just give a shout out to the NFL for doing something incredibly different this season? Rather than rent out a ballroom, rather than rent out Grand Ole Opry, the Opry House for this, they rented out downtown Nashville. They put it on the street. I mean, that right with all the honky-tonk locations, right on Broadway, probably the second most famous Broadway in America behind the one in New York, they made it into an outdoor extravaganza. Thank God there was no rain during the weekend, but it was still something that has never been attempted before in modern sports history, and boy, didn't it look great. Kudos to the NFL, especially to whomever thought of that idea of turning Nashville downtown into pretty much the whole stage, the world's biggest stage for the NFL draft. It looked incredible. Whoever thought of it, give that man or woman a raise. It definitely worked wonders, especially when we're seeing on television.
It looks like something of a bucket list kind of thing now.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, we've moved away from having it at Radio City Music Hall or wherever it was at the beginning.
Right.
And it's moved to Chicago. And now all of these teams are now going to be interested in getting this next year. Guess where it's going to be?
It's going to be in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas. No doubt about it. And that would be interesting. And I would. What it's going to be held in one of the casino ballrooms. I want to say it's going to be where the. I saw this. I'm trying to remember. I think it's going to be in Mandalay Bay. I'm not 100% sure on that. It might be in T-Mobile Arena. But boy, can you imagine them doing the same thing? First of all, it would require them to shut down Las Vegas Boulevard. And I'm really not sure if that is even viable.
Yeah.
Right. So whether or not they want to do that. And
Las Vegas Boulevard is just.
Yeah.
I was just in Vegas in February, so. I mean, and John, you was there, what, a week ago?
No, I'll be there over Memorial Day, leaving in about 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks. So, you know, that was, I'm glad you said that, John, because, yeah, kudos to the NFL for that, man. Just imagine that being in Vegas. That's what I was thinking about when Trey Wingo kept saying, man, we're going to Vegas next year.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, where are they going to put this thing?
Well, they really could put it anywhere.
They could put it anywhere, yeah.
You know, I'm sure the casinos would just fall over themselves.
Because
you figure, you know, every casino down there has got room enough for this. Every single casino has an amphitheater, has an auditorium. And, of course, the Mandalay Bay has that little arena where, and the name escapes me, where the WNBA Las Vegas team plays.
Yeah.
And they've got that little arena.
there too.
Yeah, they host a lot of boxing. I mean, you've got Orleans Arena there. You've got you could stick it anywhere.
Put it anywhere.
And that's so. I mean, like I said, I would love to see it outdoor. The only problem is, it's going to be, let's see, 8 o'clock. It'd be 5 o'clock. It might be in 90-degree weather. That might keep it from doing that.
Yeah.
Doing in late April, it's not going to be brutally hot.
Right.
But I just talked to my parents, and temperatures were in the 90s. Just over there. So you know, it would be absolutely great if they tried to do it outdoors. And I think that should be something that we could at least think about doing. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right, Daniel. Now teams are going to be bidding on this. Cities are going to be bidding on this. Look great in Philadelphia. Look great in Chicago. I can imagine Atlanta trying to put a bid for this.
Hell yeah. Atlanta most likely will put it like somewhere near Centennial Park.
Well, they'll put it either in the Congress Center. They'll put it in State Farm. Or even Mercedes-Benz. That's probably what I meant.
They may open up the roof and say, hey.
Yeah, put it there.
A little outdoor track here.
I mean, I think it would be great there, but... Mm-hmm. Just the way they worked on it, like I said, it was incredible. All right, let's just see if I can find.
The draft happens at a great time of the year too, when it's nearing the summer.
Yep.
Well, everything is hot,
mm-hmm.
and like the yep. Super Bowl, when everything is cold and you got everything in warm weather cities, you can pretty much have the NFL draft anywhere around the country, and it's going to shine.
Yes, you can. Yep. Yes, you can. That is a great point. Yes, you can.
Was anybody surprised on the NFL draft though? Did any kind of head scratchers?
There were plenty of head scratchers. Well, I wouldn't say there were plenty, but
well, we knew Kyler Murray was going first. Yeah. He was. Nick Bosa went second. He did. So that was pretty by the board. We knew that was going
to
happen.
The head started to scratch at 4 when Oakland picked Cleveland Farrell.
Hmm.
First off, let me start by saying this. Those 4 defensive linemen, Lawrence, Wilkins, and Farrell, we said that they were going to be top 15 draft picks. And the other guy, Huggins. Huggins wasn't even drafted. But we said that they were going to be top draft picks. I just thought that they would have went with Lawrence or Wilkins if they were going to get to that spot. A lot of the head scratchers were from teams that could have gotten that player later.
Right,
the Giants are the biggest example.
Yeah, they went for Daniel Jones. I mean, we knew they were going to get a quarterback. We knew that. That was no problem. But I don't. Daniel Jones of Duke does not really strike me as he's not a franchise. No,
I'm not the one who thought that. I'm like, you guys could have got. I'm thinking they should have competed for Kyler Murray. They should.
That's where you're going. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we knew Arizona wasn't going to bite on that.
Right.
They were trying to find suitors. That's why Arizona won this trade. Won the draft a little bit. It was 3 teams that really caught my attention on the draft, and that was Arizona, Pittsburgh, and New England, believe it or not. The defending champion, New England, caught my eye. But they were trying to get rid of Rosen. They got rid of him. And they got I think they got some pretty good things back.
I was going to bring up that trade of Josh Rosen to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That means, guys, they're going to hand Kyler Murray the ball. Kyler Murray will be under center for that first game. And that, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I disagree.
You think it's a good idea?
I think he's got the talent around him. The question is, can that line hold up? Because that was the problem with Rosen last year.
Okay.
Is that his offensive line was terrible.
Right.
Rosen, I think, was sacked more times than anybody last year. So that would be my only concern. But you got a guy like Kyler Murray that can move out. And he's got David Johnson in the backfield. And he's got Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, yeah, don't forget, Larry Fitzgerald is still there. But still, but it's his first game. It's his first game as a professional. I understand Josh Rosen knew that his time was over. I get that. Mm-hmm. But
he's getting thrown to the fire game one. He won't be starting.
I'm just looking at they're hosting Detroit in a 4:25 game on that in the first week of next season.
In all likelihood, you know, cuz I'm thinking that Josh Rosen was going to get sent to Washington for obvious reasons. But then Washington drafted a quarterback.
But they needed one.
Yeah.
Especially what happened.
So what would have happened was in that case, Dwayne Haskins was actually the guy that the Giants, that everybody was expecting the Giants to get. because of his upside. I think he has more of an upside than Daniel Jones does.
Right. That was a. Okay.
Daniel Jones probably would have went to Washington.
Right.
Or he would have went second round, and Drew Locke would have went to Washington. Somebody would have went there other than Dwayne Haskins. I don't know, man. I thought that it was mind-boggling.
So if you're in New York, mm-hmm. how soon do you throw Daniel Jones a better?
Not this season. Eli is on the downward slope, but I think they can get at least one halfway passable year out of him.
Yeah.
I think he'll be starting by if Eli stinks it up mm-hmm. again.
Well, gosh.
You know, I'm just going to be honest. If he stinks it up, if they're trash by week 8, and they're like maybe like they're out of playoff contention by week 8, then you see Eli off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he'll be under center week 1. Probably it'll depend on the year. And of course, the NFL, as much as we praise them for their creativity in that draft, I got to give them points. I got to deduct points for uncreativity, as again for seemingly the infinite straight year they open up with the Cowboys. Can we just please get rid of that game one matchup between Dallas and New York? Come on. Seriously?
What made it even worse, boys, is that this is the 100th anniversary. So you knew they were going to still go with that Giants Cowboys kind of rivalry thing. But kudos to them as well for opening up with Packers Bears.
And that's we're getting away from the always having the Super Bowl champion open it up at home. But yeah going Packers Bears, getting their history. And we said this during one time we were talking about this, that the other team that's been hung around this same amount of time as those two, the Arizona Cardinals. Even though they haven't been in Arizona that whole time, but they've just been kind of ignored this whole.
Y'all get that too. Arizona and Detroit are one of the oldest football teams in history too. So for them to play in week one, that'll be something. I want to go to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
A minute. Kudos to them, because you remember they had it was just disastrous for them.
Yeah, but serious.
For them to jump up and trade up in the top 10 and get Devin Bush out of Michigan, I thought that was a win for them. That was a steal. They actually got the steal of the draft. Not only that, they got probably the best running back in the SEC from last year in Benny Snell. So I thought that was the reason why they did a good job. New England did a good job because they got depth. Just like Atlanta did.
None of Atlanta's picks are what we call, you know, sexy picks. But they're need picks. They bolstered the line. And that is something that, you know, we've been saying this ad infinitum. Christopher Lindstrom getting a BC guy to protect a BC guy. If anyone's going to have an incredible motive to do that, it's going to be him, or else he's going to hear about it from his alumni association. But it really is a great-looking pick for Atlanta. We knew that this is what the Falcons were going after in this draft. Line, line, line. And they did pick up a couple of running backs at the end of the draft. They grabbed one, Marcus Green, I believe, from ULM, Louisiana Monroe, out of the Sun Belt Conference.
Andre Ellison from Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like one of the best running backs in the ACC.
Not from Clemson, and you know, I think that was a good pick. Some of these draft services giving the Falcons a D for this, I don't agree with that.
I disagree.
I think Lindstrom will be starting week one at the at Minnesota when Atlanta goes up there to start off the season.
Listen to this stat though from Lindstrom on 363 pass blocking snaps last season, he allowed no sacks, no quarterback hits, and only 4 hurries.
And that's amazing. That's amazing, especially when you're facing Clemson.
Yeah, exactly.
And for BC, for Boston College. That is a very good series.
That defensive line.
Right. And to hold them, it's obvious that they did their homework. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, and give them.
It wasn't Jonah Williams.
No, not only that, guys, we kept hearing Ed Oliver. And that might have been a smoke screen, mm-hmm. knowing full well that Oliver would not be there.
It wouldn't have made sense, though.
When they were available, and good thing for the Texans to go grab Ed Oliver with the pick that they did.
It wouldn't have made sense because Atlanta got so many defensive linemen for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you add him? What, just for just to add him. You know?
It might sound good for a great conversation, I guess.
Right.
And also, kudos for Carolina. Great story getting Brian Burns and everything that he's been through in the first round. I mean, that I'm waiting for the ESPN 30 for 30 on him. That documentary will be very impressive.
And speaking of Carolina, were you shocked that they drafted a quarterback?
Well,
no.
I think Cam. Well, Cam's been hurt.
Yeah.
He's been hurt, and they got to wonder if all those injuries are going to build up on him.
I'll tell you what. Leon, I wasn't shocked that they drafted a quarterback. I was actually shocked at the quarterback they drafted.
Will Greer.
Will Greer was actually high up on a lot of people's board.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that they actually got him. But he's going to make a viable backup quarterback. He could start anywhere in the league.
Because, you know, especially like last year, you know, with Cam being hurt, playing through that, I mean, being that the guy that he is, he wanted to play through it and all that, but they should have sat him down last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it actually harmed their team more than it actually helped them.
Yep.
You know, because, I mean, you know, who's seen that? I mean, the way the Panthers hit, they went on a run. I mean, they hit a free fall last year. I mean, they were like, at one point in time, almost 6-0.
And with that free fall, it allowed Atlanta Falcons, even though as bad as the Falcons did, to just kind of go up and sneak a second place finish, which actually hurt them in the long run, made their schedule just a little bit tougher. Picked up the Vikings on their schedule. They could have played, Detroit.
Yeah.
But instead, we got Minnesota, and you know, you can't fault the team. I mean, I think there's no, you know, people always say, oh, they're tanking. I think when you get out on the court, that will to win. That's why you got into the business to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think anyone tanks.
You got to look at it too, man. Guys playing for their NFL futures.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's also it.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you got over a million people who have played football, a million guys, but only like
0.0001%.
Exactly. Only 300 of them, and it'll be 300 this year. Will be. Considered elite,
yeah,
in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
you have to go out there and you play for that every day.
Mm-hmm. And from my personal POV, you know, my team, I was shocked that we didn't draft the big name quarterback, but we just signed Tyrod Taylor to a 2-year contract. You know, because my guy is like, you know, Phil Rivers.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
is 37 years old this year. Coming off his, I believe, his 14th season.
But he played very well this season.
He sure did, but he's 37 years old.
Well, Tom Brady's 42, and he hasn't shown any sign.
No, but you did draft a quarterback.
We draft
a good one. Easton Stick.
Right.
North Dakota State.
I hope he gets on just for that name alone.
I do, too.
Just for that name alone.
Yeah, the best name on the roster. We know that. Easton Stick.
Speaks softly and carry an Easton Stick.
Crazy.
But I'm looking for, you know.
A decent draft, though.
We're the San Diego Padres. We need to use your Easton Stick.
Man, like,
you're not clowning your team, man.
Yeah.
We just say that's a great name. That's a name. You know, Easton, the famous bat making company.
Yeah,
that's where I was going.
That's where you go.
That's where I was going with that.
Out of North Dakota.
Yeah,
and give the Chargers credit for finding him up. Although North Dakota is a great team in FCS.
Yeah.
I mean they are. Or no, are they D2?
No. They're FCS.
Okay, yeah, they're in with Kennesaw State.
They're in with Kennesaw State.
Right.
And you just wonder, like, are they going to ever make the jump?
No, you know, I think they're perfectly happy just beating up everybody in FCS.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think...
Beating FBS teams every now and then.
Every now and then, when they get a team crazy enough to schedule them.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think FCS or FBS teams want to go to North Dakota regularly. No. Home of Roger Maris, give that credit. But, you know, or is that South Dakota? It might be South Dakota. I'm mixing up my Dakotas. But, you let's be honest, guys. If you had a choice, do you want to go to North Dakota in December?
No. Oh, no. God, no.
That's like you lost the dice game.
Exactly. That's why they're perfectly happy. Perfectly happy. I think they're perfectly happy staying where they are. They like their niche, and they know they're going to be featured on ESPN for that FCS title game every December 15th and 22nd, wherever. At least they have a dome. That's the one good
thing.
That's the one good thing they have at home. It's just getting to it that's the problem.
Yep.
We don't mean to rag on North Dakota. We don't mean to rag on Easton Smith. Just the way things work. Leon, your Chargers hosting the Colts. Week one.
I hope to break out that big hand of powder, and we're going to just, you know, for real, and just give it to them real good. Just, you know, for real. I'm looking
for a 25 game too, right?
Yeah, that is
a 405 game.
405.
I'm looking for the Chargers though.
That's probably going to be the CBS game of the CBS has got the well. I don't know who's got the doubleheader. We've got a lot. All the games have been assigned.
Yeah.
They'll be on at 4:05 along with the Chargers and the Colts. Oh, Fox has got to have the doubleheader because CBS has the U.S. Open that week.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why Fox always has that doubleheader.
Fox will have the doubleheader.
So, of course, we're going to have Troy and Joe at Giants Cowboys. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
The question is, where is Nance and Romo going? I had to choose. I think they go to Jacksonville.
Nance and Romo, the city, Jacksonville. That would be a good one.
I think they would go there.
That would be a good one, yeah, because they're not going to go to Bills Jets. They're not going to go Ravens Dolphins. Titans Brownies, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but
I gotta go with you. Chiefs Jaguars is probably the better game.
Yeah,
but you know, don't hold. You know, if they go to Titans Browns, don't be shocked. And of course, let's mention everybody else. NBC, they'll have the two games. They've got Packers Bears on Thursday, Steelers Patriots on Sunday.
What a game!
Oh boy, we gotta hope the Steelers get their act together because we're calling them the new Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
If they don't get their act together, the Patriots are just gonna waltz all over them.
Because guess what? Cleveland is now considered prohibitive.
Yeah, Cleveland is the new Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's the new Cleveland.
And they made a great draft choice. Greedy Williams from LSU. That was a tremendous draft choice by them.
Yeah,
I've seen stranger things happen though. This
and the ESPN games on Monday, Texans Saints. And then the one that Beth Mowins will probably be doing, Broncos Raiders.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Shoot.
We're going to see some strange this year, potentially.
We always do.
Oh, we're going to see something strange this year, I believe, is going to happen. Will Cleveland host a playoff game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they're going to win.
That means they're going to win a division.
I think they're going to win the Central.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win the Central. I don't see anyone else.
Me too.
I mean, I think the Bengals are in rebuild mode.
Rebuild mode.
Ravens are. It's going to.
Ravens are good.
Ravens are good, but they might be a year away.
Okay.
Because they got to get a full year under Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens start off with the Dolphins, so they're going to be 1-0.
The Steelers also
rebuilding mode.
The Ravens have the makings of something special because look at it. They defensively, they're back. We got to look at it. Look at the embarrassment that the Rams suffered at the hands of the Falcons a couple years ago, where the Falcons actually flew across country, put the pad on their hands, and smacked them up real good time.
Yep.
And look what that did to their ego. It just completely crushed them, right? But then they came back the next year, the way Virginia came back the next year, and steamrolled the competition right into the Super Bowl where they laid an egg, but they actually got there.
Right.
But Baltimore... The Chargers come way to their hometown, smack them up a little bit, but at the same time, they show resilience. They scared the heck out of me. I did not want to play this team, but they scared the heck out of me. They shown great poise, promise with Lamar Jackson, and, you know, they made a game of it.
Right.
I'm looking for this year for Baltimore to, you know, because like we say, you got to have gotten there to taste it and have it taken away from you.
Taken away from you.
Just to come in the next season like they haven't ate in 2 years.
Right.
And I'm looking for Baltimore to make a tremendous splash. And I'm saying this because I don't even like that team like that. I'm a Charger fan and I want to see us do it again. I want to play these guys. But.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go over the Charger schedule in depth a little bit later as we get closer to the opening of minicamp. And everything else, again, the OTAs are next up.
Yeah, who's hosting Hard Knocks this year?
They haven't announced it.
I bet if they could run it back to Cleveland again this year, they would.
I would rather have it in Pittsburgh. I think as much as you hate reality television, works best if the team is like a slow motion train wreck. And I think those Steelers are your slow motion train wreck of the season.
No cameras up in that thing.
Have the Saints because what we've noticed with the Hard Knocks series,
they're going to complain they're still going to be good though
because they're going to lose. We haven't seen really anybody come out successful when they go to Hard Knocks.
Yeah, again, Saints open it up with Texans on that first game.
Week two, they go to L.A. for the Rams.
Damn, you think the NFL is punishing them for complaining?
5 game on Fox.
So
yeah, that's going to be.
Do you think the NFL is punishing them for complaining?
I hope they do.
Did you guys see the Falcon schedule release video?
No, I didn't.
You gotta watch it. I'm not gonna spoil it, but there's a great troll job on the Saints. And speaking of trolling, that's kind of what I want to get into with our last 60 seconds talking about certain matters. This is gonna be a little off subject, but I'll bring it in. Social media. We're talking about social media now, which has shown incredible ways to both divide and unite us. And I think this week it has united us in a certain aspect, and I don't mean in terms of coming together, expressing well-wishing for the tragedy in Poway, California, because you always have that. No, what I'm talking about is a little bit different. Basically, I'm talking movie spoilers. Leon has not seen Avengers Endgame, so we're not going to get into too much detail that Daniel and I have, and we could talk the whole hour about it, and I'd like to at least do some of that, but we got to wait till Leon gets it. Anyway, the point is, people say, don't spoil the movie, don't put any spoilers on your Twitter feed, don't spoil it. And guess what, folks? In an incredible display of unity, no one has. Nobody put any spoilers out, with one exception, and I'm going to say to LaShawn McCoy, what the hell were you thinking? Why would you do this when everyone else is going along with it? It is an incredible amount of people putting the needs of others who have not seen this movie, and frankly, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen, and Daniel will agree, and I'm going to start right now. It should be in the Best Picture category of the 2020 Oscar. It's a great, and I hope it does make it. But LaShawn, what are you thinking? Why would you do this when it's appealing to everyone's better nature and we're actually succeeding in that regard? So even though with spoilers, people have a tendency to just do it, put the spoilers out there, we're holding ourselves in, we're holding back, we're exercising an incredible amount of self-restraint. It is a testament to the spirit of humanity that we can overcome that need to be the first to say. But again, LaShawn McCoy, why? All right, Leon, you're up.
All right, I wanted to kind of build on the subject matter that you were speaking on. Dan and I, we were discussing this off camera, but it's the concept of trolling.
Okay.
At the rate that the media is trolling Russell Westbrook is just, in my opinion, embarrassing. You know, granted, did Russell Westbrook have a less than ideal series against Portland? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're shooting 10% from three. I mean, my goodness, man. What are you doing, bro? You know, losing in the first round 3 years in a row? Man, what are you doing, man? First, last year you get put up by a rookie when you had like two Hall of Famers in your team. You know, I mean, it's not a good look, bro. It's not a good look. But, I mean, the trolling is getting to the point of epidemic proportion. I mean, we've seen collapses or player like superstar-led teams that do not meet expectations. You know, before, we've seen this with Peyton Manning. And the early, like, you know, before 2010 is back when the Chargers were good last time. You know, the Chargers, we stayed putting out Peyton Manning in the playoffs. The trolling was an epidemic like this. Right. When we see Clayton Kershaw, you know, the ace that he is.
Yeah.
You know, 18-game winner.
Mm-hmm.
They get put out in the first round. We've seen this, you know, we just seen it. We've seen it repeatedly. But then now that it's happened to Russell Westbrook, you know, with LeBron James not making the playoffs this year for the first time in centuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trolling, you know, when we see, it's not just with Russell Westbrook, but we see the comparison with people are comparing LeBron to Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah.
And I look at like, that's ridiculous, because for one thing, the era is different. You know, when you look at the quarterbacks of today,
mm-hmm.
You had the Drew Breeses. You had the Peyton Mannings, who just recently retired. But I'm saying this because he set a 55 touchdown record. You know, NFL, and you know, people were ranting and raving about this. But I look like when you look at Peyton Manning and the quarterbacks of the 2000s, you cannot compare those guys to the quarterbacks of the 80s.
Right.
You think to yourself, well, why not, Leon? I mean, my stats are stats. Well, yeah, look at it. These guys were straight. Like, it's like American Gladiators in the 80s. You know what I mean? The calls that these that the protection that the quarterbacks are getting now.
Well, yeah, we've had this conversation many times about how pointless it is to do that.
Absolutely.
Unless you have a time machine.
Yeah.
Then you know, if you have a time machine and that's what you're doing with it, well, you need to reevaluate your priorities.
Man, and that's what I'm saying. You cannot compare, you know, when I'm looking at, you know, with the trolling that the media is doing with the Russell Westbrooks and people, and especially with Westbrook. I mean, regardless of this man, he does not have to win another playoff series, as far as I'm concerned. This man has performed a feat which no human being in my lifetime has done, averaging a triple-double 3 years in a row.
That's tough to do.
It's hard to do 1 year, much less three.
It's hard to do it for 10 games in a row.
Yes, in a row. It's hard to do it in a game.
Period. Ask LeBron James, who he's built for the triple-double, but he doesn't do them.
Nope.
You know, the last time we ever seen someone perform triple doubles like that was Magic.
Yeah.
And before him, so this happens like once in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So Russell Westbrook, people are like, oh man, it's hitting his legacy. This man doesn't have to win another series for the rest of his life, as far as I am concerned, because for what he has done, will not be done for quite some time.
Well, the media, part of the media's job is to drive conversation, and sometimes what people will do to generate what we call clickbait is to have these outrageous opinions. I'm looking at you, Skip Bayless, and outrageous opinions whose only job it is to drive debate and to make people pay attention to you. I shouldn't make fun of Skip. He and I, both graduates of Vanderbilt University, and he does a lot for the student media at Vanderbilt, so I should not make fun of him. Looking at you, Stephen A. Smith, and
Colin Cowherd.
Actually, Stephen A. Smith was in our. I should not make fun of Stephen A. Smith because he was actually in Encompass in my workplace last week. I talked to him a little bit on Wednesday. He was just on his way down to the draft. So I guess Colin Cowherd will probably be the guy we're beating up on.
And we love you guys.
We love you.
I love Colin Cowherd. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's like one of my. He's one of the reasons why I wouldn't even want to do this today. So,
right.
You know, but I'm just saying his opinion of Russell Westbrook is sometimes unprecedented. Like, come on. Like, really?
All right, Daniel.
All right, so, you know, we've been talking about change, especially in the NFL draft, right? If you guys are just joining us, I don't know where y'all been. But
rewind it. Stop right now. Put it to the beginning and then play it.
Then play. There you go. We were talking about the NFL draft and how the scenery changed. It was in Nashville, and everybody, and it was kind of outdoors, and it was in downtown Nashville. There was something else that changed during that weekend. College Game Day hosted the NFL draft. They hosted night one on ABC on the NFL draft. So, yeah, that means that Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Lee Corso, and Desmond Howard were all there. But there was something that happened during the draft. Lee Corso
put on the mascot of every team. If an Alabama guy got drafted, he grabbed the elephant head, put it on, then he got rid of it.
Actually, he didn't. He put on the Dwayne Haskins because he kept saying Dwayne Haskins, Dwayne Haskins, Dwayne Haskins. But like the OG that Lee Corso is, he could only, you know, there were 32 picks. They were only hosting round one.
Right.
32 picks. Lee Corso, after the 11th pick, which was offensive tackle Jonah Williams from Alabama that was picked by Cincinnati. While the Green Bay Packers were on the clock, he packed up his things and he left. Oh, man. And if you want to see the video, it's on Twitter. It's on
I'm sure.
But he just up and abruptly left.
I'm out of here. Well, you know.
hey guys, I'm gone.
Well, you know, he had a let's see, it's Central Time, so it's about 10 o'clock. I would say, yeah, he had a 10 o'clock movie ticket to see Endgame. That's probably where he was going.
A lot of people got on, and I'm not on Twitter, but you can see like some of the Twitter things. Like if you post up, you can see like some of the Twitter feeds and stuff. People are saying that he's done.
I don't think so.
Man, please. Don't you ever say that Lee Corso will be done when Lee Corso says so.
He's like Dick Vitale.
The moment that you wake up on a Saturday morning during college football season and you see that man does not put on at 11:57 a.m., does not put on a mascot headset,
yeah.
Or do something crazy with his picks, then you're going to retract your statement. Listen. Yeah. Lee Corso is a boss.
Okay. he's Dick Vitale. He's the Dick Vitale of college basketball.
That's just like saying you can't let Dick Vitale or now Bill Walton. You can't let them guys go off. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, hey, Lee Corso, boss.
That's a great moment. That's a great moment. All right, that's going to wrap us up. I just want to mention, we were going to talk about the Kennesaw State situation with their basketball coach, but that is an evolving story. We'll get into that hopefully next week, maybe a couple weeks down the road when it all settles down and everything is in order. But it's a very interesting, fluid situation. Suggest you read up on that. We are the last three guys to do the podcast, our 31st edition. We'll be back with you next week discussing more MLB, more NBA, and even more NHL as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup and the NBA Championship Finals. We'll also talk Major League Baseball, and we'll also go over some OTA activities that have been going on over your favorite NFL teams. For
Leon Brown
and
Daniel Bolton,
I'm John Morgo. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell Lee Corso if he's putting on some headgear about the last three guys to do a podcast here on SoundCloud, soon to come to you on different streaming services. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks so much for listening to us. Have a good night, everybody.